You may be seated. I want to greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. I'm thankful to be here with you all. Just thank you for the opening thoughts that Aiden shared with us. In many ways, I feel like they were very much along the same lines that God has been speaking to me in. The few thoughts that I have this morning, I titled it, and I'm not sure it's the best title, but my title was The Root Condition of the Heart. There's been a few thoughts that have been going through my mind that I've been considering a few aspects of plants and different parts of plants. One of the things that we want to consider this morning is the root system of plants, and we want to apply that to our own lives in the way, different ways, perhaps, as we go along here. First of all, I'd like to just say that we all know the Bible speaks actually quite a bit about roots, and which is quite amazing. And we want to take a look at a few of those verses today and see what all they are speaking to our hearts. First of all, we have a little diagram here of a plant, and most of what we can see of a plant is above ground, and that's what we normally think of when we think of a plant, but there's a lot going on underground in most plants that we, for the most part, can't see. Perhaps with a tree, you can see some of the main roots going down into the ground. But the roots are very important to a plant's survival, for its health and its strength. It's where it is able to take in nutrients and water. The very things that build or make up a plant are taken in mainly through its roots. And I have a few elements that are taken up. Written down there, just some abbreviated forms of nitrogen and potassium and phosphorus and all kinds of different things, but they're all absorbed in through the roots. I shouldn't say all, but most of them are. And the root system is very important, and things that can go wrong, you know, with the roots directly affect what we're able to see on top of the ground, the leaves and the fruit and so forth. So, I would like to turn, and just for a scripture reading, let's turn to Matthew 13. Many of us know this parable very well. It's the parable of the sower. And I think we'll just read verses 1 through 9 quickly here. And just pay attention to these seeds as they sprout and as they grow. And allow your mind to consider the roots of each one of these seeds as it grows. Starting in verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he had sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, as I was reading that, especially pay attention to verse 6, where it talks about where the seed fell among stony places where there was not much earth. It said, when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root. They withered away. And that's how it is with natural plants. If there's not much root, They cannot receive water, and they will soon perish. As we see here, the plant is only as good as its root system. And sometimes you see plants that have plenty of water and plenty of nutrients available to them right up close to the surface. And so there's not much of a root system there. But other trees and such like have huge root systems, and they basically grow to whatever size they need in order to maintain the water and the nutrients that they need. I want to consider one aspect or one root condition that can happen with plants, and that is a plant can become root bound. I'm not sure how many of you are familiar with that term, where the root system is basically locked into itself. It grows together, and it can be because a pot is too small or maybe the ground is too hard. But that plant has a root system, but it's grown together in such a way that it's not able to spread out and grow and find the water and the nutrients that it needs. And as we go along, I'd like to begin to consider some of these things in light of our own life. I should just draw a little bit of an illustration of what I mean by this, but we'll just draw a simple plant here as well. But what tends to happen is these roots grow, but they all of a sudden start growing in and back towards itself because they're locked together. In this situation, you can plant that plant in a pot or whatever, and the pot can be wet. It can look wet on the outside, but that plant on a hot day will oftentimes start wilting away because there's no moisture able to come in to the root system. And just allow your mind to consider some of these things as we go here in light of our own life. There's a few remedies that come to mind as I think of this. And the one is kind of a painful process as we consider it. But basically you have to go in and cut those roots and pull them apart so that they start growing back out to find more nutrients and water. But that can be a painful process, you know, as we consider it. But it is necessary for a plant so that it can start taking root and not die. So that's just one illustration of root problems. There's many we could consider. I'd like to turn to Psalms chapter 80 and read some verses there. There's Psalm 1 is also a beautiful passage of a tree that's planted by the water. We're going to look at Psalm chapter 80. And I was thinking I would read the whole chapter. I think I might just real quickly, because it gives kind of a beautiful picture of thought here. Starting in verse 1, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up thy strength and come and save us. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? Thou feedest them with the bread of tears, and givest them tears to drink in great measure. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt, and thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparest room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs unto the sea, and her branches unto the river. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her? The boar out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts, look down from heaven, and behold, and visit this vine, and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. It is burned with fire, it is cut down, they perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will not we go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord, God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. It's a beautiful prayer there. But notice especially verse 8 and 9 there, where it speaks about the vine that God planted. He brought a vine out of Egypt. Beautiful picture of Israel being brought forth out of the land of Egypt. Verse 9 it says, Thou preparest room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. And that's a beautiful picture of what can happen if our root system is big and deep. It can support a big plant. And so in light of some of these thoughts, these are just some thoughts I guess I had here, that we can't expect to be all for Jesus and not be deeply rooted and grounded. As I think of being root bound, some of the thoughts that came to my mind is many times we can, as we send forth our roots, sometimes these roots will circle back in towards ourselves, and we start feeding on ourselves. We start feeding on maybe even hurts in our lives, maybe things that people have hurt us or challenges that come, and we tend to come back around and we try to do this in order to protect ourselves. But what tends to happen is we slowly are starving ourselves. We're slowly spiritually dying is what tends to happen. And the best thing that we can do is to take our eyes off of ourselves and begin looking to Jesus and looking to His Word for life and strength. One thing I thought of is bonsai trees. I'm not sure how many are familiar with trees like that, but they're miniature trees, but they're to scale. They're really, really pretty little trees to look on. But God never designed us to be bonsais in His kingdom. He wants us to be full-grown and mature trees. But the process for that, I've never done that, but the roots have to be trimmed very severely and for that to happen in those trees. But God's heart for us is to be rooted deep and to grow, to be full-grown and mature for Him. In Proverbs 12:12, let's turn to that and read that verse as well. Proverbs 12, verse 12 says, The wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. And I had to think, how many plants or trees or flowers do you see that are not trying to reproduce themselves? And many of the ways in which they do that is either through fruit or seeds or such like. And it's the same way with us. That's why we were designed. That's why God made us the way He did, is we are to bring forth fruit. And this fruit is in a spiritual sense in many ways. It is in blessing others. It is to be producing what God Himself is, those fruits of the Spirit. And so that is why God wants us to not only survive, but to thrive and flourish. A plant that is only surviving will tend to not bring forth much fruit at all. But a plant that is thriving is going to bring forth, as we read in Matthew there, it's going to bring forth many fold. 30, 60, and 90, or 100-fold. And so that should be our goal in this life, is to thrive and to do it in an abundant way. Sometimes we may feel that maybe our root system has hit a rock, or it has stopped growing. And there's different reasons for that possibly, but one of the reasons I thought of is, you know, sometimes our heart can grow cold and hard. Sometimes our life is not an ideal place for our roots to grow deep and find nutrients. I think in those situations, we need to be broken. We need to pray for humility and brokenness in our own heart, that our roots can grow and can be established. I also had to think of another main reason that a plant has a root system. You think of a large tree, and you think of the tremendous force that comes upon that tree in a storm. You know, on a sunny day, that tree could probably stand with roots that were a foot deep, you know, and go out. But the moment that ground gets soaked with rain and the winds beat upon that tree, we all know that it'll fall very quickly. And so it is in our own life. If we simply feed shallow and we only want to go as deep as we have to, so to speak, we're not interested in going all the way, that may work for a little while, but when the trials come, we will not be able to stand. We will not be rooted and grounded. And I thought it quite interesting. Turn to Matthew chapter 15. I never quite looked at it quite this way, but I thought this was an interesting verse here. And just in light of what we're sharing today, Matthew chapter 15, verse 13. But it speaks on, verse 13. But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath planted, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." And I know I'm just kind of picking that verse out here, but as I read that, it hit me that each one of us, whether we are born again, whether we are saved, whether we profess the name of Christ or not, we are rooted. And each one of us has a root. And as I began to think about this more, each one of us is feeding on something. Whether we're feeding on Scripture, whether we're feeding on the things of God, or whether we're feeding on this world, each one of us is feeding on something. And in the plant world, that has a huge impact on what actually happens to this plant, whether it produces or whether it dies, whether it turns sick, whatever happens. What it feeds on, in many ways, it sort of becomes, you could say. And my mind, maybe it travels too far, but as I was thinking, our roots as Christians naturally will not tend to the things of God. Unless we are focused and have a purpose in life, our roots will naturally tend towards carnal pleasures, the things of this world, the world and its life and its lusts, those type of things that appeal to us as humans. And that's just how things go. Even as Christians, those things naturally happen. And all of a sudden, they start having a big impact on what other people see on top of the ground, you could say. And suddenly, the fruit is no longer there. Or then, slowly but surely, bad fruit starts coming as well. And so these are just thoughts that I had. But as we consider these thoughts, where is Where is our root system? Where are our roots headed? Are they grounded deep in the things of God, in His Word? Are we settled? Are we firm in those things? And I also thought of Romans chapter 11, verse 16. Here in this passage, it's speaking of being grafted in. It's a little different light than what we're talking about here today. But in verse 16, it says, "For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. If the root be holy, so are the branches." And I just want to say, my understanding of it here is, our branches, our fruit, our what other people can see, cannot be any holier than our root system is. We may be able to look good to some extent, but on the outside we may look good, but the heart of the man determines his end. The outward flows from the inward, but it is never the other way around. You know, we can strive for a right heart and motives is what we must do. You know, we need to have a heart that is pure and right before God, and then the outward flows from that, and it can be a very beautiful thing. I'd like to turn to Colossians chapter 2. Some of my thoughts are a bit scattered this morning, but these were some meditations that I had. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." And as you look at verse 7, talks about being rooted and built up in Him. And there's no better place for us to be rooted and built up than in Jesus Christ. And we have a beautiful picture of what our life can look like as we read His life in Scripture, as we see how He handled situations. And we realize, and I have many needs in these areas, but we realize what He was feeding on, what He was receiving strength through. And many times we see how He got up early. He communed with His Father. He was engaged in the work of His Father here on earth. And as we have received Christ Jesus the Lord, that's how we should continue to walk. In Ephesians chapter 3, I'd like to read a few verses there also. And I just had a note here for the last verses. Rooted in that verse, to me, and built up, you know, it sounds just like a tree that's not going to be uprooted in the storms of life. It's one that's fixed and it's settled, and it's not going to be easily moved. Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 14. I was going to just read to the end of the chapter here as a closing scripture. "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And, you know, we're used to reading these verses, and what's amazing is what precedes some of these verses. It talks about being rooted and grounded in love. And what is, you know, what is that comprised of? You know, being rooted and grounded in love, I believe, should be the very basis of our Christian life, is to be rooted and grounded in the love of Jesus Christ, the very love that he had for us. And I believe once we begin to be rooted and grounded in that love, then and only then are we going to be able to comprehend what the true love of God. And as I read that about being filled with all the fullness of God, just mind-boggling, but I believe that as this is all happening, that's the only chance, that's the only way that we have of possibly being filled with all his fullness. I just think it's just amazing, these verses. But you know, we have verse 20 there where it talks about how God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And so I just want to leave that with us here. You know, sometimes these kind of things can maybe be a little discouraging for us as we look at our own life and perhaps we see needs. But let's take heart. Let's take courage. There is plenty of power there. We just need to avail ourselves of it. We need to be free of self. We need to lay down our own, sometimes our own ideas and plans even. We need to find our place in his kingdom, working for him. So I just want to share those thoughts with you this morning, and I trust that they will be an inspiration to you all. God bless you.